Joshua chapter 2. I love the book of Joshua. It was for all those years they wandered around in the wilderness and they could have conquered that promised land. And finally, they come to this point and they're getting ready to enter into the promised land. And what a wonderful time that I'm sure that was. You think about all those younger Israelites that have come out of Egypt. And 40 years they wandered in the wilderness because some older people grumbled and moaned and were fearful and had all these things. And finally, those people were off the scene. And God is preparing them to enter into the promised land. And we're going to pick up in the story there in verse 1 of chapter 2. And the Bible says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told," you know, the wonderful thing about the book of Joshua is everywhere from a preacher's aspect you read in the book of Joshua, there's messages. It's just rich with material in the book of Joshua. When you think about it, think about the story of Rahab. It's proof that God can use anybody that is willing to be used for his glory. And we think about that. Think about the stories and the applications that have been used just by Rahab, by the story of Rahab being submissive to God's will. And we're getting into a little bit, not about Rahab tonight, but how they knew, the people knew what was going on. And it was told in verse 2, the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither to tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them and said, 'Thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.' And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I want not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalk of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of the Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and about all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth." And I've titled this message, this thought, 40 years for nothing, 40 years for nothing. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for this opportunity, God, to be here, to open up your words, God, to preach them here tonight. But Lord, I pray, God, you'd get me out of the way. You'd hide me behind the cross. God, these dear people came to hear from you. God, I pray that's exactly what they'd hear from tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me as a vessel overflowing with you. God, we're thankful and praise you for the one that was saved this morning. And God, I pray that, Lord, you wouldn't quit, that you'd continue to do a work tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd take this message, you'd encourage your dear people to continue to go forward for you, God, that we'd keep our eyes focused on you. God, I pray that you would help us here tonight. Lord, move in amongst us. Allow your presence to move amongst the pews here tonight. Lord, as always, if there be somebody that's here that's not saved, God, I pray that tonight would be that night that they call upon you and get that settled. We thank you and praise you for all that you're doing. In Christ's name, amen. An incredible portion of story. And when I had read this, Brother Young, a while back, and I read that portion of scripture that it said there in that they had known For all these years, for 40 years, the people had known that God had given them that land. It dawned on me, for 40 years, the Israelites had wandered in a wilderness for nothing. God had promised to give them this land. He told them to do that. And we arise here to this story, and Joshua sends two men. He was smart. Remember, Moses sent 12. Two came back with a positive report. 10 came back with a negative report. And they did what the 10 said instead of what the 2. I think Joshua was like, we're going to send 2. We'll let the 2 come back. But at this point in time, they had spent such a long time just wandering in the wilderness, wasting years that they could have been conquering and doing things for the Lord. And they get to this point, and in Joshua chapter 2, verse 9, Rahab said to him, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror had fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we had heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt. So when they came out of Egypt, the people knew that God had given them the land. They knew that eventually that God was going to take that land and give it to Israel, and that they were going to conquer that land and do it. But out of fear, the Israelites never got to enter into the promised land. And, you know, this is a church that's got a lot of things going. There's a lot of, it's exciting to see the buses run. It's, and if you work in the bus ministry, it can be frustrating. And there's people, they come, they go, you invest in them, they're gone this week, they're back next week. And it can be a tough ministry. And the bus ministry is an expensive ministry. But you know what? It's worth doing. So if you work in the bus ministry, just keep plugging along. Keep doing it. Keep going out knocking doors. Keep following up. You don't know. That young man that was here this morning, you don't know what God has in store for him. But he was there. But we see so many times, I believe, young men, young ladies, they grow up in church and then they graduate, they get older, and then they're gone. And I'm thankful to look around, and there's some people that grew up in this church, and they're still in this church. They're still doing those things. But I wonder, Brother Nathan, how many young people and how many older people and how many people that were like me, Brother Jack, got saved 32 and a half years old, that come to church and you just sit and you soak and for years and for years because you're fearful of and looking at your ability and looking at your qualifications and looking at who you are and your shortcomings, and you're fearful that God could ever do anything with you. But let me remind you of something. God always takes the underqualified and qualifies them, but he always takes the willing. He takes the willing. Do you understand that? If you are willing, he will do that which he has called you to do. Do you understand? But so many times we look at what we're capable of doing or not capable of doing, and we become fearful. So when we look at the story of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, and and they sent the spies out and they came back. And we understand Joshua and Caleb said, let's go take it. We can do it. We can take the land. The other 10 saw the giants of the land. They saw the obstacles that were in the way. They looked at themselves and said, we can't conquer. They're giants. But, you know, just like your preacher preached a couple years ago, we need some young people that are willing to fight above their weight class. We need some young men like a Joshua and a Caleb that says, I want that mountain. We can do it because you have a God that is able to do anything, and he's willing and able to do anything. And so many times we see people, they're involved and they're doing things, and then tough times come. And the next thing you know, they're gone because they have looked in upon themselves. That's why I said earlier, so many times people get involved in trials and things come into their life and they quit on God, or they look to the world for things because they give up on God. They quit too early. And we have to understand that God, it wasn't David that was a giant killer. It was David putting his faith in God that allowed him to kill the giant. Do we understand that? When we look at Moses had failed God. He had murdered a man. He had run from God. And there he is on the backside of the desert, just tending to his father-in-law's sheep. And he comes around, sees a burning bush. And from that point on, Brother Morse, he had no clue how his life was going to change forever and what God was going to take a man that stuttered and use him to lead a multitude of people out of Egypt. You think about the miracles God did through Moses. Our country today is still founded upon the principles and the commandments that God gave Moses up on the mount that he had spent. And that all started, Brother Morse, when he turned aside to go to that burning bush to see what it was, why it wasn't consumed. And he said, I will now turn aside to see this great thing. And at that point in time, God said, remove thy shoes. That moment that Moses went to there, God took a man that was not qualified and qualified him to do an amazing work. And the very laws of our country are founded upon that. I think of David, a little shepherd boy, and the way that he was able to kill that giant and to lead Israel for all those years and see the great things that God did through that. I mean, God took a young man with 5 smooth stones and a sling and killed a 9-foot giant. Do you understand? That is God. That's the same God we serve today. I think of Paul. Paul was persecuting Christians, and God took the very man that was against everything Christianity, and he was pulling people out of their houses and throwing them in prison. And God used that man to pen over half of the New Testament. Do we understand? God can take anybody and do anything with them that he chooses to, but you got to be willing. You got to get to a place where you see beyond yourself and you see what these, do you understand, in this book, it's a book full of promises. You think of the stories that we read about, the wonderful stories that we read about in this Bible. This isn't make-believe. These aren't fantasies. These are true accounts that happen.
Right. Amen.
We need to get to a place in our life where we say, God, what could you do with me? Amen. Brother Jack, the night, it was a Sunday morning, I believe it was in June 2007, I went to an altar and said, God, I have no idea what you can do, but here I am. Amen. I'm nobody special. I was just willing, Brother Morris. Right.
Amen.
To think what God, just staying faithful, devotions in a tree stand, Brother Young. The young men that have got saved at Outdoorsman Camp got called to preach. The effects that it's had. I'm nobody. Just willing. And maybe just dumb enough to step out by faith. But there's so many young people in here, and it excites me, Brother Morris. And there's people that have been here for years and they're faithful. And you hear the stories about all the people that have gone out of this church, and it's encouraging, but it's not time to sit back and stop.
Right.
It's time to continue to go. It's time to look beyond ourselves. It's time to look to God and say, God, what could you do with me? What can you do with me? I want to bring 3 things out of this portion of scripture tonight that will hinder you from fulfilling God's will, that will keep you. If you take these things and use them as a warning, it will keep you from sitting in a pew for 40 years and accomplishing nothing for God.
Come on.
It will go, you know what, Brother Morris? I don't know how many years God will give me. Right. I have no idea.
Right.
But he saved me at 32 and a half years old. And I'm going to do everything I can to give him the rest.
Amen.
Number one. We're gonna switch the story and go to Numbers. Go to Numbers chapter 14. I want you to look at a few things. And for sake of time, I'm not going to read through all the scriptures because there's a boatload of them. But we understand this was when Israel refused to go into the Canaan land. This was when Moses sent the spies out and they came back. And we're going to pull some things out of this portion of scripture
that will show you why Israel for 40 years wandered in the wilderness. They wandered instead of going into Canaan land and conquering it and living in the promised land that God had promised to them all those years earlier. They wandered in the wilderness and they wasted those 40 years. Instead of being conquerors, they were conquered. But number one, they're discontent with what God was doing. Look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 2. And you're gonna see a pattern here. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God had died in this wilderness." You know, the thing about it is, all through this portion of scripture, we can go back to Exodus chapter 14, and they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Over and over and over and over, all they did was murmured and complained about what God was trying to do in their lives. Now turn to Deuteronomy. We'll go to Deuteronomy. I'm going the wrong way. I got to find it myself. Deuteronomy chapter 8. They did not understand what God was trying to do with them through all of this. They had no clue what God was doing, and they got discontent, and all they did was focus, Brother Isaac, on the bad. That's all they did. It was more about what they didn't have instead of what they did have. It wasn't where God was taking them. They weren't enjoying the journey. They just wanted to get to the destination. And sometimes we got to get to the place where we learn to enjoy the journey of what God's taking us through is for our good. He's preparing us for something. Do you understand that? And that's what he was doing. And the Bible says this in verse 2, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. It was to humble thee and to prove to thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest obey him or not." God had taken them out of the wilderness. The Bible says that it wasn't the shortest way for them to go, the way of the Red Sea. But God said this. He said, it was a way that I was taking you because you were not ready for war. I believe that's in Exodus chapter 13. God said it was not the least, that way of the Red Sea. But it was the way he knew that if they went the way of the Philistines, they would see war and they would repent and run from it. And he had no chance of the ones that were. Do you think God knew that the ones that were older were not going to go into the promised land? He knew that.
Right.
He knew that. It wasn't a surprise to him they were murmuring and complaining. But there was a group of them that God knew would enter in one day. But those ones that would enter in one day had to take the journey 40 years in the wilderness to understand, this isn't what I want for my life. God was preparing them for battle. He was preparing them for war. And sometimes it's the journey we don't like. And during the journey, we murmur and complain. Well, I didn't grow up in the kind of household they grew up in. That's tough. Get over it. God can still use you. God has a purpose for your life. Maybe some of the things that you endured as a child that you grew up in, maybe you grew up in a broken home like I did. They were things that God was preparing me for something someday, that I would have a burning fire desire for some young men, that you would get on fire for the Lord, give your lives to Christ, and live in such a way that God could do something great with you. To get to a place where you don't want bad things in your home. You don't want worldly things. You want to live for Christ. Give your life. What could God do with you? If he could do something with any of us in this room, what could he do with you? You just got to be willing. You got to look past the negativity and what I can't do.
I can't sing as good as so and so. I can't sing as good as Brother Nathan, but I'm still going to sing.
Amen.
I can't play the piano as good as even Jocelyn. I can't play at all. And you did a good job tonight. But the point is, you can start somewhere.
Amen.
Don't look at the giants. Look at what God can do through you. You know, that one of the things when we get the faith promise missions is I don't ask God, what do you want me to give? I say, God, what can you give through me?
Amen.
It's not the Dave Ramsey envelopes, Brother Morris. The first time I told my wife what we're going to give, Brother Jack, she said, are you nuts? It's what God told me to do. Since we started sacrificial giving, Brother Walton, it is amazing what I've seen God do.
Amen.
Has it always been easy, babe? Nope. Have we ever gotten behind? Yep. Have I had to sell things to pay my missions? Yep. Somebody bought us a new car this year, Brother Morris.
Amen.
I'm not boasting about that. That's God.
Amen.
These were things... Things that have happened to us in the last several years didn't happen before we started sacrificial giving.
Right.
If you're going to accomplish something for God, it's not going to be easy. There's going to be obstacles. The devil is going to do everything that he can to get you off course, to discourage you, to keep you from doing those things. But if you just hang on there a little while, take that journey. Let God do. Let God materialize what he's doing. Sometimes he just wants to see if we're going to be faithful through the trials. And then all of a sudden he says, I want to show you that I'm real. You can't afford to buy a new car, but I know somebody that can.
Amen.
That's how God works, folks. But you just have to be faithful. You just have to ride out the trials. You just have to do what God wants you to do and look beyond the giants. Don't get discontent with what God's trying to do. Because God is preparing us for what he has by what he's taking us through. It's amazing to see what God did over and over and over, though. The Israelites, they murmured and they complained. You know what kept them in the wilderness? They're murmuring and complaining. Isn't it wonderful to spend time with Eeyore?
Yeah.
Everything bad. Oh, I can't do nothing. We're in the end times. That's the new one. That's for every apathetic Christian that's out there that doesn't want to get up and do anything. Oh, we're in the end times. Yeah, we are. And we're to get busy because the day draweth nigh when that trumpet's going to sound and Christ is going to return. Let's get busy. Let's not get focused on the giants. Let's not get discontent with what God is doing. Secondly, their desire for worldly things. Look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 3. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. They had gotten so worldly while they were in Egypt, when the comforts weren't there, they wanted to go back. See, it wasn't what God had promised for them to have. They wanted what they had. They wanted the comfort. They wanted those things. Sometimes maybe you're going to have an older car. Sometimes you're going to have to live through some things. Sometimes you may have to live in a house that isn't very pleasant to live in. Ask my wife. My wife hates mice. We lived in a house that was a target and friendly environment for our cat. We would come home and Brother Nathan, he was like, when you come back from shooting a deer, he was like, yeah, look what I got, you know. He was so happy. He's catching mice every day. My wife hated it. You'd hear him climbing up the walls. Her hair glowed in the dark from the chlorine. That was. We had a cistern well. You had to dump bleach in it just so it didn't smell like cow manure.
We're not asking for a pity party. We were loving life because we were getting to serve God. Sometimes you're going to have to leave some comforts behind. But here's the problem. A lot of people today, the young people have so many things. I'm not going to surrender to the Lord. I don't want my kids surrendering to the Lord. They might have to go through some tough times. They'll get over it. You've been through tough times. You made it through it. Sometimes it's going to take time for God to develop you to what he wants you to do. This is why I tell you young people, don't let the world get you. Don't let the world get you. Get involved serving God, getting God's will. Allow God to stir your life and stay busy doing the things. Don't worry about all the other things. It ain't going to hurt you if you don't play football. It ain't going to hurt you if you don't play Little League. It's not going to hurt you if you don't do those things.
Right.
It was just like I said earlier. There's a young man there. He's all zealous and excited for the things of the Lord. I want to go to the military. No offense, but that is the devil trying to keep a young man from serving God full-heartedly. He needs to be in the army, but the Lord's army, and he needs to stay in it.
Right.
The thing about it is, yes, if that's God's will for him to go to the military, then go.
Yep.
But make sure it's God's will.
Hey, good.
Don't let the world entice you to keep you from serving God. These people were so focused, Brother Isaac, that they just wanted that fleshing pot and all that good bread and all that meat that they ate back in Egypt. And that manna and quail just wasn't quite good enough. They complained about the manna. God provided everything they needed. Then they complained about the water. And then they complained about this. And then one thing that they were never going to be happy, Brother Isaac, because the world had control of them. So many of us will not step away from the things because we're too comfortable living in the world. We're too comfortable. God was taking them away from those things. You know what? They were going to have to make a little bit of sacrifice. Now, we know the story. When they enter into there, they were eating things like kings. But there was a time period that they went through that God was seeing who was going to be faithful. And when he brought them out on the other side of that thing, he did some amazing things. It's amazing. My wife and I could give testimony to when we left and stepped into evangelism and we moved to the other side of the state over there, we walked away from financial peace. We went through some tough years. And then just to see God miraculously say, guess what? Here you go. Guess what? Here you go. Sometimes we just got to see it out. Don't let the world keep you from serving God. Get involved. Do the things that God wants you to. Number one, don't get discontent with the journey. Two, number three, their lack of faith. Their lack of faith. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 5, it said, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites. We have to understand, in Exodus chapter 13, this is when God was first promising for them to go into the promised land. He's telling them, we're going to take you into there. And he says this, and of the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, Jebusites. Aren't you glad that you're not called Jasonvilleites? Now, up in Paris, Illinois, they call them parasites. In Exodus chapter 13, God had promised that he was going to give them this land. And for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness because of their lack of faith. And I would say this is probably the thing that keeps most Christians from serving God is a lack of faith.
Yes.
It's a lack of trust in what God can do. Brother Isaac, God laid the camp on my heart in 2009. And you have to understand, I never went to church camp a day in my life. And I'm probably the most underqualified person God could ever call to do a camp.
And as I kicked it down the road for years, and I kicked it down the road for years, Brother Morris, it dawned on me the story about Moses. God took a man that wasn't qualified to do what he did, and he took him and he did something with him. And Evangelist Dan Martin's the one that said, he said, Brother Rex, you've told everybody about what God's laid on your heart with the camp. And he said, everybody's told you it's a needful thing. But the only problem is, you're the one that God called to do it. You have to do it. Nobody else can do it for you. And when I stepped out that year, when God said it's time, and I stepped out in faith, I had two preachers that were committed to come. We set some dates. Eight boys, four preachers. The second year of camp, we had seven boys saved. We had 28, and I had about 12 preachers. Last year, 144 in attendance, 92 young men. I can't remember how many salvations, how many boys called to preach. We had a stack of decision cards, hundreds of them. I didn't do anything, Brother Morris. Everybody says, this is amazing. I said, it's God. This is God firsthand. I'm nobody special. I did nothing, Brother Snyder, except for stepped out in faith. Said, you know what? Here's a blank check, God. You know what, Lord? Here's the will. I'm going to let you drive. You know where we're going. I'm just going to sit back and let you take the wheel and drive us to the destination we're going. It hasn't always been easy, Brother Morris. I had some great men of God counsel me through it. Brother Coral, Brother Dennis Coral said, Brother Rex, you're going to have to spend money out of your own pocket to get this thing going. He said, but once you get it going and people see that it's needful, people will get behind it. And I'm humbled that the men that God has brought to camp and involved in it. And I'm not boasting about me or anything with this. I just want you to understand, if God can do this with me, what could he do with you? We're maybe 40-something young men in the last 10 years, maybe 50 now, I don't know, that have been saved at Outdoorsman Camp. There's 50 souls, Brother Jack, going to heaven.
Amen.
I'm glad that I was foolish enough to step out in faith. I'm not a polished preacher. I'm not a theologian. But when a young man gets saved this morning, it encourages me.
Amen.
That stepping out by faith is worth it.
Right.
Is it easy? No, it's not always going to be easy. What could God do with you, young men? You young ladies, what could God do with you? How about you tonight? What's holding you back? What's keeping you from saying, God, here I am.
Amen.
What can you do with me? Doesn't have to just be the young people tonight. How about some of you older people? God created every one of us with a purpose.
Right.
Why don't we just make a decision tonight? We're not going to be like Israel. We're not going to waste 40 years of our life. We're going to get involved. We're going to look past the obstacles, and we're going to look to him of what he can do through us.